This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. American soul food finds its roots in slavery and the food culture that early African and Caribbean people brought to North America. Those early traditions find their way into African American, Southern, and African foods of today. The Akakeek Foundation, a nonprofit educational farm in Prince George's County, will host a panel discussion tomorrow called Soul Food Justice to explore how the history of soul food connects to its future. This morning, we're unpacking this history and how it connects to the efforts to improve health, sustainability, and fresh food access in African-American communities. Joining us from the University of Maryland College Park is Dr. Psyche Williams-Forson, Associate Professor of American Studies there. She's one of the speakers at tomorrow's panel. Welcome to the show. I want you to hear what our intern Estelle Klein heard when she went to Lexington Market in downtown Baltimore and talked to Charles Pinnock and Damian Mosley about what they mean by soul food.
To me, collard greens, potato salad, and steak, or some other kind of meat, but collard greens and potatoes are number one. You have chicken with it, ham, pig feet, chitlins, hog mugs, all that good with it.
So I'm Damian Mosley, and I started Black Sauce Kitchen with a partner just short of 5 years ago. Biscuits are something I've made for a long time, personally and professionally, I guess. And I just felt like they would be sort of an everyman's food in a somewhat poor neighborhood.
We hear the term soul food all the time when talking about food that's traditional to Black communities. Dr. Williams-Forson, how do you describe soul food?
Soul food, for me, is similar to what the speakers said earlier, but also I think it's just really food. Lots of cultures, I guess, have soul food. And I'm always trying to help people to see that soul food really is a political descriptor. If you date back to when it was first coined, and it was, you know, termed that at a particular time because Amiri Baraka and others were really trying to establish that Black people have a culture, and it's a culture of soul. It's a culture of keeping on despite the odds that might surround you. And so for a lot of people, soul food is everyday food, right? For me, in fact, it is everyday food. It's the foods we grew up with. It's the food that we often continue to eat, whatever configuration that might be, of which, however, is collard greens and macaroni and cheese. I would agree.
Macaroni and cheese you put in there, too. How do you think what you just described differs from how popular culture defines soul food?
Well, I think popular culture today defines soul food as anything from oatmeal to whatever feels good. I wouldn't necessarily say that it's altogether different, but at the same time, African-American people lay a claim still to that term and to the foods that represent that term or are represented by that term. Succotash, for example, or lima beans and corn. As I said, collard greens. You know, kale is all the craze, but Black people and many other Southerners have been eating kale, since it came out of the ground. And so I think we're in a food craze right now where we're happening upon a trend where soul food has once again come into vogue, and that's a good thing. But it's also very vexing for how the term gets tossed around and how it gets claimed and reclaimed.
That's Dr. Psyche Williams-Forson here on 88.1 Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. She's Associate Professor of American Studies at the University of Maryland College Park, and we're talking about soul food. Take us into the history, but how did the food traditions of the African diaspora become part of American food culture during the time of slavery?
Sure. Well, you know, with the movement and the buying and selling of brown and Black bodies, African traditions pervaded not just the South, but the Caribbean and throughout the entire North American continent, right? And let's also be clear that African bodies were here before the sort of formal slave trade. And so by necessity, our foods would have, and cultures and ways of cooking would have mixed and mingled with native peoples, with Europeans. And like any other culture, you have adaptations over time and modifications. And so you end up with food representations, more or less, and the ways of cooking and the ways of eating even, and even in the ways of serving that get attributed to African people. And then, of course, over time, they become more African American. What is surprising, though, is that we're still having to remind people that African Americans did more than eat scraps, that they actually were entrepreneurs where food was involved. And many also, when allowed, were raised gardens, and still others were able to fish or sneak and trap foods.
As I understand, much of tomorrow's panel will focus on bringing soul food into the food justice movement. That's another term I'd like you to define for us. Food justice.
Right. Food justice really means that people everywhere have the right to produce their own food if they want, distribute it in the ways that they want, have access to good food, good being a relative term, regardless of race, class, gender, you know, citizenship, ability, sexuality, and so forth. That really is the core of the social justice intervention in food studies. It's making sure that everyone has access to the foods that they want. You know, I try to remind people that that's a very complex task for multiple reasons.
What are the challenges?
Well, some of the challenges are that while there are proponents and people who purport to do the work of food justice, the problem sometimes comes in that we have very particular definitions of what constitutes good food. And, you know, I've had this conversation with colleagues. I have it with my students. One of the pieces that I feel is often exhibited in these food justice movements, of which I am a part, is the sort of moralizing of what should be eaten, what constitutes good food. What is good for you may not necessarily be good food for me, in part because it may not reflect how I define myself culturally, how I define myself socially. And so part of, I think, the piece that I often want to encourage people and those of us who do this food justice work, I want to encourage us to stay fluid and flexible when we're talking to people about what makes up their food constitution, if you will. I want us to be reminded that food is intensely personal. And so telling people what they should eat and what's good for them often sometimes backfires, actually.
I really appreciate your talking to us. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Dr. Psyche Williams-Forson is Associate Professor of American Studies at University of Maryland College Park. She's part of a panel organized by the Akakik Foundation tomorrow afternoon in Mount Rainier in Prince George's County. The event will include food. We have information about how to register for it at our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. Also there, links to some of Professor Williams-Forson's writings. Maryland Morning is an original production of
Your Public Radio,
WYPR,
in Baltimore.
The show is produced by Matt Purdy
and Jonna McCone.
We have production help from
Estelle Klein
and Catherine Sway.
Nathan Sterner directs and engineers.
Coffee for our guests provided by Zeke's Coffee in Lauraville. On the web at ZEKESCoffee.com.
I'm Tom Hall.
And I'm Sheila Cast. On this day in Maryland history, 1895, famed abolitionist Frederick Douglass died in Washington, D.C. He was born a slave in Talbot County on the Eastern Shore around the year 1818 and became an ardent voice in the fight for black freedom. We're back Monday. Hope you'll join us.